Good morning, brothers and sisters. I'm thankful to be here again this morning and share with you. When Brother Aaron asked me to speak, he gave me a suggestion. He suggested that I would expound on the verse from Hebrews chapter 3 where it says, "Exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And so I took that suggestion, and I've been considering that and praying about it. And I've chosen a title this morning, something like this: The Potential of Encouragement. And I feel like that there are several things that have been happening already this morning that are very much in line with this message. You know, I believe that it has a lot to do with attitude. We already heard about that, didn't we? That the attitude with which we face life and the attitude with which we meet and greet one another has a lot to do with how we're going to respond to them and reaching this tremendous potential that is expressed here in this verse. I think the NIV takes the word exhort and translates it as encouragement. And I like the word exhort, but I also like the word encouragement. And this is a speaking into the life of each other that has to do with maybe the future and encouraging them in a way that brings an effect. Let's open our Bibles to that verse, first of all, and look at it more closely. In Hebrews chapter 3, I like to notice every word in a verse when I look at it. And I'm not sure if I quoted the first word when I quoted the verse. Verse 13 opens up with the word "but." Now, what does that indicate? Anytime you come to a scripture verse or a statement that begins with "but," what does it assume? It's a connecting word, and whenever it's "but," it's a connecting word that often indicates contrast. Here something is said, and in contrast to this, something else is said. And so it would not be right to look at this verse if we didn't understand something about the context of the verse. So let's go back, and I recommend this as a very good method of studying the Scriptures. You go forward and go backward several times when something begins to develop here. Verse 12 says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." There is a condition, in the human heart that is very easy for us to begin to lose faith. Would you say that that is a true statement? That unbelief seems to be one of our biggest sins and one of our most serious sins. And faith is the key, and I think I've mentioned it before, that Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, is about faith. It's written to Jewish believers that had come to accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah, the Son of God, the Redeemer of the world, the true sacrifice, the only way to be free from sins. And then you have a sense of reverting back to the familiar. And if someone is reverting back to the familiar, for them, it was Judaism. And through the book of Hebrews, the exaltation and the lifting up of Christ, you know, He's made to be seen greater than the angels, and the gospel is made to be seen greater than the law. And Moses, Jesus is made to be seen greater than Moses. And so the warning here in this chapter is that don't let unbelief enter into your life, because the effects of unbelief are going to rob you of the potential of the gospel. It's going to be that which shuts the door on the potential. And that's why I chose the word, the potential of encouragement. There are things that shut down the possibilities. And many times as we want to lift up the possibilities and we want to encourage somebody, we have to expand in their hearts. Their heart has to expand, and they need to see the greatness of God. They need to see the power of God. They need to see the effectiveness of the blood. They need to see the willingness of God for the blood of Christ to be experienced, or the potential of the propitiation, the full ability of the blood of Jesus Christ to make a full and complete payment for you. Anything, brothers and sisters, that detracts from us understanding the full potential of what we can have in Christ will begin to limit our Christian lives. Now, I'm not saying in this process that we are not saved and we're not going to heaven, but it will limit us. Now, let me look at another scripture here that helps us to understand this sense of being limited. You know, the scripture says if our heart condemn us, what's that? Well, maybe it's a true condemnation because there's unresolved sin in our life. And if our heart condemn us, yes, there's a place of need. But we can also look at that verse and say that if our heart condemn us, we're having a faith problem. We're having a problem of identifying what Christ has said on our behalf that brings us into that place of no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. To go on with the verse, it says, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. So God does. Sometimes there are condemnations, and there are feelings, and there are conditions that come upon us. And God knows our hearts and knows all things. And thank God for that. Oh, I have stood many times in the knowledge that God knows, even if I didn't quite know. And I don't propose that suddenly we have lost our salvation. But if we have confidence, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and we know that whatsoever we ask, we shall have. So that verse makes it very clear that the powerful potential of prayer is realized in this place of faith, where the confidence that we have. Now, how does that relate to the verse that we're looking at here today? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. But exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Now let's look on the verse on the bottom. We are partakers of Christ. What does that mean? We are partakers. We are participating. We are we partake of communion. We symbolically take that grape juice and that bread, and we ingest it. We take it in as a symbol of our appropriation of the work, the body and blood, and the redeeming work of Christ. We become partakers. And so we are partakers of Christ more than just at communion time. We are partakers of Christ any time that we are entering into the fullness of the work of Christ. And whenever we partake in that by faith, the potential that Christ has released for us becomes ours. Brothers and sisters, this is how we live the Christian life. Continually, we wake up in the morning, we face the issues of life, like our Sunday school lesson, we face temptation, we face the beckoning voice of the enemy, and in those places, by faith, we become partakers of Christ if we will win. If ye hold fast the beginning of your confidence, that's how you become partakers. Now, what does it have to do to say but exhort one another? What I would like to bring out in the potential of encouragement that you and I have a great opportunity to cultivate, to inspire faith, to inspire confidence, to inspire a trusting thing that is like it. We tap in. We open up the spigot on each other. We through fellowship, through exhorting, through encouragement, we help others to see Jesus. Now, how often are we supposed to do this?
Daily.
It's very clear, isn't it? There's something about this opportunity to inspire each other to enter in to be partakers of Christ that can happen daily. That would mean almost every time I see you, because I don't see you daily. And one of the points of this message is that we do not lose the opportunities. You know, our communities do not function like they did 50 to 100 years ago. Royal communities, you know, back in the 1945 era, 3 out of every 4 people were farmers or had some kind of interaction. It was quite different. And in that sense of community, there were lots of opportunities to interact on all kinds of levels. So what should that say to us about what we should be doing when the saints get together? If our opportunities to get together as brothers and sisters in Christ is much different because of our opportunity to meet, that reinforces the importance of us to exhort, to encourage one another. We might not be able to do it daily with all of you. Maybe we do it weekly. Maybe we do it bi-weekly. But there should be someone whom we are inspiring to enter in to this full potential of confidence in Christ every day. Our meeting of each other should be something that stirs up within us a desire that stimulates faith, that stimulates confidence, that makes us feel more able to face life and more able to face temptations and more faith-filled about entering into the challenges and the battles of life. Now, I feel here this morning that there are some of us that do this. You know, if I bump the glass, you know, what's gonna come out? You know, it's dripping. Why? Because there's water in there. And I'm suggesting to you that as Christians that are filled with the Spirit of God, If we are full of the Spirit of God, most any time we come together, we should be bumping and overflowing and splashing out of the things that we are full of. In fact, we will do it. We will do it. We will splash out of the things that we are full of. If we are cultivating that sense of relationship. Now, let me explain to you. Jesus stood one day in the synagogue and He lifted up His voice, and I wish I could today. But He said, "Come unto Me, all ye that are thirsty. Come and drink. As the Scripture has said." What? What did the Scripture say? "Out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water." Thus spake He of the Spirit, which was not yet given. Now, we believe in Pentecost, don't we? We believe that the Spirit of God should fill us, and there should be out of our bellies rivers of living water. Now, if that is true, brothers and sisters, think with me. If it is true, if I have an artesian well and I block it off, we're going to understand Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, "Your word was in me as a fire shut up." It's going to be explosive if we try to stop. What I'm saying is that this overflow of the Spirit of God is something that should flow automatically. And let's be honest. If it's not flowing automatically, then is it rivers of living water? I'd like to just explain again, what is rivers of living water? Thus spake He of the Spirit. Now, I have thought of this verse, rivers of living water, many times, as a verse that proves that Jesus is teaching that something dramatic should be happening to us, and that this infilling of the Holy Spirit definitely does have an amazing effect upon the believer. And that's all good. I don't hope that I have to convince you of that. I want to convince some of you that the water is not flowing. I do want to do that. I do want to convince some of you that you have not entered into the full potential of overflowing, springing water through the Spirit of God. Be honest about that. But if in fact the living water is flowing, it is living water. It is living water. And so, what is the implication of the overflow of the living water? Wherever the river goeth, there was life. You know the prophetic word? The river that proceeded out from under the sanctuary, wherever the river went, there was healing and there was life. I believe that we miss often, and I have, and God, please forgive me, in Christ. We have missed so many opportunities to overflow life. Now, why is that? Some of that is because what we have considered to be the measure of true spirituality. You know, we go to true spirituality, and sometimes we have this idea that the only expression of true spirituality is a logical presentation of facts. And we become defenders of the faith. Now, the Bible says that we should contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. I'm not against that. But there is a mentality. Brother Aaron Hurst and I were talking about this just this past week. There is a mentality that we measure spiritual life according to rightness. And then we put on those glasses and we begin to see others all through the tinted glasses of what we have assumed is rightness. And then a sense of criticalness enters in and we start super analyzing one another, and at that point it brings death. In fact, in Colossians it says, well, let's turn to that. I can't quote all of that, and there's a lot in that little passage that I want you to see. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Did you ever notice how willing Paul was in the beginning of his letters to give amazing words of that stimulate faith, that build a sense of confidence, that have this sense of putting the arms out around and bringing them in? Did you ever see that in numbers of the books? Well, some of that's here in Colossians too. In chapter 1 it says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ always for you. Wow, what an attitude. What an attitude. There's going to be some fellowship of the Spirit here today. There's going to be some consolation in Christ. There's going to be some bowels and mercies, like Philippians says. We're going to have some of that if, in fact, we have come with a thankful spirit for each other. How many times this past week did you stop and say, thank you, God, for this brother, and thank you for that brother? I didn't do it so much, but I did it a little bit. It felt pretty good. It was comforting. It was, you know, Paul says one of the blessings of giving is so that by your gift, many thanksgivings may redound to the glory of God. There was a fellowship thing that was going on because one part of the body was thinking and sharing with another part of the body, and then the praise and the glory and the offering goes up to God. So here Paul is opening this letter by saying, we give thanks to God for you. Would that change anything? Since we heard of your faith, what? Heard of your faith in the Lord, in Christ Jesus, and we heard of your love, which ye have for all the saints. Whenever this remembrance of your faith and your love, there's a thankfulness that's welling up in my heart. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is into all the world, and bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of... Okay, let's go on. In verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, heard of what? Of your faith, do not cease to pray for you and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of inheritance in the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, that's quite a list. These sentences, these statements that help us to really understand many different facets of the gospel, are things that Paul brings to remembrance when he thinks of this church and he thinks of that church. Should it really be any different with us? Should it really be any different with us that whenever men and women who are filled with the Spirit of God get together, there is a mingling of hearts. There's a flowing. There's a expressing. There's like the water starts to flow where it's been flowing and it just comes together. I have to tell a story. Is Brother Luke here? I'm not sure if he's here this morning. So Maybe I don't see him, but I can tell the story anyway. I'm going to go back to Indonesia with one of the most treasured memories of my whole stay here. Using Brother Luke's words, when he was praying, you know, if you can just imagine two men down under a barn, kind of in the dusty things, moving stuff around to get moved, and the conversation, the water starts to flow. And I don't know how many, at least two or three times, his wife came along and he says, "Shh, we're having church." And we go back to having church, and church would turn into heartfelt conversation and exhorting one another and encouraging one another and stimulating faith. And soon there's tears running down both our eyes and our hands are up in the air. And we're just saying, "Lord, your two little boys are down here." Wow. Your two little boys are down here talking. What amazing ability to stimulate each other to be partakers of Christ. Reach out and take some, Brother Luke. Reach out and take some, Brother Daniel. It's flowing. It's here. There's bread on the table. There is tremendous potential in this. And brothers and sisters, we don't do it nearly enough. Fathers and mothers should be doing it with children. Children should be doing it with brothers and sisters. We should be doing it with people that we meet. We should be doing it with people that are believers that don't meet at this church. We should be so full of it that it's running out. And it's a river of living water. It's bringing refreshment. In this first chapter of Colossians, to sum it up a little bit, it's like Paul wants to lay the glorious potential that is in the gospel message. He wants to see the various different facets of that and lift it up. He wants us to see what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe. He wants us to enter into resurrection power. He wants us to enter into overflow. He wants to have our faith stimulated. Now, why is He doing this? We see that He's doing this because, like we said about the Hebrews, the Jewish believers had a tendency to lose faith. They had a tendency to revert back to the familiar. They had a tendency to go back into the dictates of law and the awareness of performance. Sound familiar? Is that anything at all? Is that anything at all that you deal with? I mean, is that real? I believe it's real for anybody who really understands the potential. The most normal thing to happen is for this thing to degenerate if we do not enter into being partakers of Christ. And remember, we're talking about encouragement. That's the potential of encouragement. The potential of encouragement is like it takes and wipes off the dust on the picture. It fine-tunes the speaker. You know how the old radios and players used to crack and you kind of like tune it in. You tune it in. Oh, now it's coming clear. That's what we should be doing for each other. We should be tuning in so that the crackles are out and the voice is oh so clear. That freshness that flows in Christ. But the tendency is quite the opposite. Chapter 2 of Colossians, he opens up and he says, I would that ye know what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that your hearts might be comforted. There it is again. Comforted. Being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I have this deep, deep yearning that somehow I can help you to understand what is the depth of this. What is? Where are the treasures? In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? I want your hearts to be comforted together. Does that sound rather positive? Now, compare that mindset. Compare the mindset of having our fellowship contacts be full of thanksgiving, be full of enumerating the various beautiful aspects of the gospel, the aspects of stimulating faith, the aspects of comfort. Do you need comfort? Sometimes I feel I need comfort. Now, why do I need comfort? Because when I get a little bit introspective, I see some pretty glaring needs. Do you ever get that way? What do you need? What lifts you? What blesses you? What rings your bell at that moment? What gets you back on track? Is it not often when somebody comes into your presence and begins to breathe life? Life! Words of life! I have this great conflict for you. I have this great burden for you. I have this yearning desire that you would know the full potential of the gospel. I have this yearning desire that you could be free from the sense of utter failure and the sense of looking back at debauchery and all of that. I want you to feel the comfort that is in Christ. I want you to feel and have your faith stimulated that you might rest in the full provision and the fact that Jesus has not reluctant. You know, Jesus, I say this again and again because I believe it with all my heart. Jesus was not a victim. No man takes my life. I lay it down of myself. Jesus willingly took upon Himself to make the payment for your sin. He wasn't somehow forced to do it. He did it because He understood our great need. And we become aware of our great need. Unless we become aware of the great Savior, we get in a very difficult place very fast. So we have the opportunity through encouragement to stimulate faith. What else does he say here in chapter 2? I want you to know, verse 3, what these hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you through enticing words. Oh, there are some other people out there that want to have something to say too. Through enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith. What's happening there? What is happening there? Paul is saying, I'm not even there, but I'm with you in the Spirit. Now, we could say, well, he was an apostle and God gave him this supernatural ability to know what the church was facing in this place, and it just like the Spirit was telling him all of these things. Well, you know, really it shouldn't be that far different for us. if we have a heart of caring, if we have a heart of caring, when you start thinking about your brother, wouldn't you often begin to think about how that you desire him to overflow in the realm of the Spirit? That you that he's walking in a sense of confidence? Whenever you remember some of the trials that this sister has or that brother has, when you start thinking about that, what would it be like if you also could read this verse and have a sense? Yet am I with you in spirit, joying and beholding your order and your steadfast faith in Christ. Is that expecting too much? I hope some of you experience that when we go to Indonesia. You know? I hope you do. I know over the past numbers of years, there were times where this overwhelming sense, this unexplainable sense that there was something happening back here at Charity Christian Fellowship that needed some intercessory prayer. In the Spirit, I believe that's the way God works. I believe there is that sense. Oh, that they might be faithful and they might be walking in faith, that they might enter into the potential. Oh, God, would you reveal Christ? Would you lift up the glorious possibilities? Let's look at each other like that. Let's cultivate that. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Now, why does Paul take them back to their conversion? That's when they receive Christ Jesus the Lord, isn't it? Well, sometimes that is one of the most distinct changes that a person feels. Whenever they give their life to Christ, at that point, they understand something about the rest. They understand something about the washing. They understand something about the sense of cleansing. They understand something about how clean and how wonderful and how good it is. How about if we would begin to stimulate each other to think about that joyful moment, that overflowing blessing? Is the water still bubbling, brother? Is it still fresh? Could we find ways of encouraging each other to remember that joyful, bubbling freshness when we first received the Lord? As ye have received the Lord, brothers and sisters, so walk ye in Him. You know, whenever we received the Lord, we were just, maybe we had just dumped the bucket. Maybe we had just stared in the face the utter wretchedness of our human heart and we dumped it out. And we called upon Christ for cleansing and that sense of freshness. What does it do for you when you remember that freshness? I see some of you smiling. I see some of you, it works, doesn't it? When you go back there and you remember the freshness. Now, what does it do for you whenever, brother, those of you that are smiling at least, walk like that. Yes, walk like that. Remember that day? Remember that freshness? Today, walk in that freshness. Oh, the blessing that will come in that. Now, there is a truth here. We not only, let's say Brother Lloyd here, I stimulate his faith. And that, you know, it's just like the water starts flowing and somebody else gets stimulated and somebody else. But you know, it does something for me. It does something for me as I express the desire and the thankful spirit and the encouraging spirit and the sense of confidence, the remembrance, just really, what does it do? What does it do for you when somebody remembers that day whenever you were just flooded with joy? Just somebody else remembering it. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Establish in the faith. As ye have been taught, abounding therein. Abounding. It's getting better. It's not just like it was back there, but it's getting better. Abounding therein with thanksgiving. Now a warning comes. Now a warning comes. In this process of stimulating faith, what kinds of encouragement are really encouragement? And what is the measuring stick? What we're going to look at here in the rest of the chapter, some, not that we're going to go over everything, we're going to look at measuring stick. Now, what do we use tape measures for? You ladies make dresses, you use this little cloth tape measure. Us men, we got our coiled steel tape, or we got this yardstick, or in school, you've got a ruler. All different forms of measurement. Measurement simply is a means of evaluating. Whenever a carpenter, there's the pile of lumber, and now he wants to have something that's built. Well, in that process, there was a lot of evaluating of the lumber with a measuring stick. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. Now, I'm sure some of you know the word tradition of man would have the thought of like precepts of men. And the word of there where it says after the rudiments of the world is a word that's very similar to, it's a military term. It's like the marching rank. It's like the armies that are marching together. Do not let anybody spoil you by the marching rank of the world and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now compare that statement. What are the contrasts? And we look at the word for again. If there's a word for or therefore or but or and, these are connecting words. These are words that are help us to say this thought relates to this thought. And now He's saying, don't do it this way. Do it this way. This is better than that. For in Him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Compare the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Compare the potential that's in Christ Jesus. Compare the potential of stirring up faith that makes us partakers with Christ to getting entangled with the traditions or principles of men or the marching rank of the world. And What this begins to, well, let's read on. Let it speak for itself. And ye are complete in Him. How do we get our completeness? In Him. That's another plus for stirring each other up to be partakers of Christ. Because our completeness is in Him. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and power. Now, what's that mean? Ye are complete in Him, who is the head, the ultimate sovereign ruler over all principalities and power. Now, where does this thought turn up? It turns up in Matthew 28, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It turns up where it says, in Philippians chapter 2. Therefore hath God highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. It comes up in 1 Peter chapter 3, where it says, the like figure whereunto baptism doth now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God, whereby he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. And, you know, he's having that, he's sitting down at the right hand of the Father of the majesty on high. So, we are complete in him because of the victory that he has won. And in Revelation, in the letters, one of the letters to the churches, it says, he that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I also have overcome, and am sit down with my Father in his throne. Present tense. Yes, and future tense. But there's a entering in to the victory that is in Christ. There is an entering in to that position that is far above all principalities and powers. There is an entering in to Ephesians chapter 2 that says that we are seated together with Him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That position has been won for us. What would happen, brothers and sisters, if in our daily exhorting one another, our daily opportunities to encourage each other to be partakers in Christ, that part of that encouragement is the stimula that helps us to remember who we are. If you are able to see who He is, well, who is He, after all? Who is He? Well, John says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word. Why does it say the Word? Jesus is the communicator of God. He's the revelation of what God is like. And how does He do it? He took on flesh, but He communicated. Are we allowed to communicate the Word? Are we allowed to communicate the living Word? Are we allowed to be a revelation, to express the revelation of God, communicating it to others? Are we allowed to participate in the Word that spoke the world into existence? And God said, what did He say? Well, His first word was Jesus, the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were created by Him and for Him. And without Him is not anything that was made. We, brothers and sisters, whenever we speak truth, we become an expression of Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Take unto you the whole armor of God. You know? Ephesians 6. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, take unto you the whole armor of God. Finally, brethren, that's how. Finally, my beloved brethren, take unto you the shield of faith, the sword of, you know, it goes down through, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness. And then it says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Is that Word of God separate from the Word of God of John chapter 1? Brothers and sisters, when we speak the Word, we are speaking the very life of Jesus. Why would we hesitate to do that? Well, back to it. What we're full of is what comes out. If you have resentment, resentment's going to come out. If you have bitterness, bitterness is going to come out. If you have a performance mentality, performance is going to come out. If you have the rudiments of the world, the marching rank of the world, the marching rank of the world is going to come out. Back to verse 10. But ye are complete in Him which is the head of all principalities and powers, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, whereunto also ye are raised with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way and nailed it to His cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over Him. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days. Now, I would like to just say here in verse 16, why do I come here in this message about the potential of encouragement? Here it says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink. How many of our opportunities for contact become opportunities to help our brothers see how poorly they are performing? Does that ever happen? I think it does sometimes, and I've done it, and I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. But let no man, we could read the verse correctly and fairly like this. Let no man evaluate you. Let no man get out the yardstick. Let no man get out the tape measure. Let no woman get out her little cloth tape measure. The means of evaluation that take you back to a level of performance in meat and drink and doing it this way and doing it this way and doing it this way. I know that this message needs a sense of balance in some of that. And we obey the Lord because we have a heart of love for Him. But I'm talking about this thing of discouragement. When you get together, I'm sure you've experienced it, and you probably, like me, have done it. You come into a situation and you have not ministered life, but rather the person whose shoulders were humped, slunched, and drooping went away a little bit lower, and a little bit lower, and a little bit lower. You get the idea? Have you entered in to the potential of life? Now, I want to say it this way, lest it be misunderstood, that the Scripture says open rebuke is better than secret love. It says, faith for the wounds of a friend, but the kiss of an enemy is deceitful. And it goes on, and we could quote quite a few other verses that say that, yes, in fact, we are to speak into each other's lives about real things. But something is wrong, brothers and sisters, if that becomes our hobby horse. If that becomes the means by which we relate to each other, and we are stimulated by fear, we're stimulated by something that somehow is all the time evaluating according to meat and drink. Paul says to them, because he knew that there were Christians coming from Jerusalem, and he says, watch out. Don't let anybody evaluate you by meat and drink. Watch out, that's deadly. Now, if we stop there, maybe that's dangerous. But what can we evaluate? I believe that if we help people to come back to that place, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him. You know, rooted, that's a plant that's going down and it's going up, it's growing. Built up, that's a building that has foundation and there's activity. It's not some stagnant relationship that stays the same as the day you were born again. But that sense of being able to evaluate the kind of encouragement that ministers life has to do with the person of Christ. It has to do with the fellowship and the attitude with which we look at each other. I would like to just say it this way. When you see your brother and sister, what do you see? When God sees your brother and sister, what does He see? Do you see something different than what God sees? Do you have better eyes than what He has? I don't think that we need to stop talking about every issue. But I do believe that unless we are able to participate in the justification that is in Christ, we miss something. The just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God by faith. You know, if that statement wasn't in the Bible, we would almost call it heresy. But it's at the very foundation of our belief. The very foundation of our belief that we can receive the righteousness of God by faith. We have no other hope. Can we look at each other that way? Can we come and say, I see the propitiatory work of Christ working out in your life. I see the lovely and effective and full payment of Jesus Christ that He has so freely made for you working out in your life. Can we celebrate the work of Christ when we meet each other? Can we say, here is a new creation. That's what Ephesians says. You're a new creation. You are a handiwork of God. I used to make chairs. Rocking chairs. Those rocking chairs were the product. They were the end product of my efforts. They said something about me. Let's acknowledge the work of Christ in each other. Let's value them as being bought with what? The precious blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus is working in my brother's life. I see it. Oh, brothers and sisters, if we start doing this for each other, they will not be the only benefactor. We also will be benefiting. You know, some of you, because it's just humanity, some of you are probably struggling on a different level than others are struggling. What would happen if you would speak life to your brothers and sisters? What if you, as you appropriate and say, today I stand only in the merits of the blood of Jesus. Oh, that unclean thought. Purge it away, Lord. And you, by faith, enter into that place of cleanness. And you that day, then you choose to go to somebody else and say, God gave me the cleansing of the blood. How about you? Are you entering into the full potential? Are you appropriating the efficiency of the work of Christ? Is it something that's a living reality in your heart? Brothers and sisters, there's tremendous encouragement that can be given. And the potential is that it keeps the heart soft. Back to the opening text. Lest any of you be hardened, calloused, inflexible, congealed, compared to soft, tender, pliable, functioning, working. We have a tremendous opportunity to encourage each other to have hearts that are soft. And I don't know of a better way to do it than for us to enter in to helping others to be partakers of Christ by faith. Stimulating each other to grow in our faith, to be an expression, to be a communicative word, to breathe life. Oh, God has given me such an amazing sense of the potential to prophetically speak life. Prophesy, O Son of Man, to these bones. Can these bones live? Look at your brother and sister. If you see an area of dry bones, if you see an area that's disjointed, if you see an area that's dead and dysfunctional, Spirit of God, blow upon that brother. Touch Brother Lloyd in this area, and Brother Luke in this area, and Jonathan in this area, and begin to, by faith, speak the words of God that stimulate faith and hope and confidence. And wow, what potential it would be.
Well, I feel stimulated. Amen. That was an encouragement. You know when God speaks to you, when you see things that you don't measure up in, but you're not discouraged about it. You feel hopeful. You feel, yeah, I want to do that. I want to overcome. I want to do better. When the devil speaks, it's more of the measure thing. You don't measure up. You're not a good Christian. You don't do that. But today I felt that encouragement and that hope that I can grow. And I want to. So praise God for that word. You know, in a sense, whenever we hear God's word like that, in one sense, it's a law. We get the law. Not that, like Brother Daniel, I'm not saying he spoke this in a law way or put a law on us, but everything that God tells us we're supposed to do in a way is a law, right? And it's something we should do. The Bible says, do this. And I thought of it, you know, the law, it says in Galatians, is meant to lead us to Christ. Right? And so the law that we heard today, the Word of God that says we should be encouraging each other, the faith-filled attitude that God wants us to have is that I need Jesus to do this. And I thought of it, you know, as you were sharing that we have to be encouraged ourselves in the Lord, or else there's nothing to flow over, like you said it yourself. Well, there's two ways to approach that. One is, well, I'm just not overflowing. The other way is, Lord, I want to overflow. I want to be an encouragement. I want to do what you said. And I just encourage us today. Let's take that law and let's let it lead us to Christ. Say, Jesus, you know, if I meet a brother during the week, Lord, you know, give me something for him. Fill my heart with yourself. Let it overflow. So let's take this in faith and let's let it transform us into more of His image, you know. Let's do something with it this week. We heard the Word of God. If we do nothing with it, it's probably worse than if we hadn't heard it. So let's take it. Let Jesus work it in us. And thank God that we do this. We do experience this. And I bless the Lord for, you know, many of you are walking in this. And let's take it as an encouragement to go on. Maybe someone has a testimony today of how this has worked in your life. Or maybe you have a comment on the message from the Word of God. Raise your hand if you'd like to share. There's one right over here, one in the back. Okay, go ahead, Mary Rose.
Oh, I would just like to say amen to the message. It was a real blessing and encouragement to me. And I just feel like I'm overflowing. I don't know what to say, but I just feel like this is such a key thing for the body of Christ. Just think of what a picture this could be to the world when we minister to each other in this way and we lift each other up and encourage each other. And when a brother's down, somebody else is there to help lift him up, to pray for him, to encourage him, and to see some good in him. I just see so many possibilities, and it's just exciting to me. Amen. It's exciting to me to put it into practice in my own life and to just meditate on it and to seek the Lord for the filling of the Spirit so that I can live this out through His power and His grace. And I'm just excited, and I thank you, Brother Daniel, for this message.
Amen. Thanks for sharing. Okay.
I have a testimony from being on the receiving end. Sarah Barnard isn't here anymore, but when she used to be here, I missed her so much when she left, because there was many times that I had a note of encouragement in my mailbox from her at church on Sunday. And I always felt so inspired and encouraged to go on, whether it was my mothering or whatever it was. She was so encouraging, and I don't do it nearly enough, and I'm inspired to be an encouragement to others today.
Good. Good to hear. Was there another one somewhere? Go ahead. Yeah.
Thanks for the message, Daniel. God has been recently giving me such an intense longing for life, for abundant life. And God gave me John 10:10 recently, and showed it to me in a new way that I hadn't seen before. It says, "For the thief has come to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come to give them life and to give it to them abundantly." And God gave me this thought that everything that Satan does in our lives is to take. Everything that God does, everything that Jesus wants to do is to give life. And then we get to choose who we want to partner with. If we want to partner with Satan and taking life from people, or partner with Jesus in giving life.
Amen. All right, was there another one? Okay. Yeah, whoever.
I saw the blessing of this message at Scent, especially as time went on and God started working in all of our hearts more and more. It just seemed like you couldn't stay down for very long, because there was always somebody around to speak truth into your life, to encourage you. And especially towards the end, it felt like church was happening all day long. The topic of our conversation was God. Sure, we had to go do our chores, or we went and played Foursquare or whatever, but we always, like, the minute we were free, we would bounce back to God and encouraging each other to find Him and to experience Him and sharing what He was doing in our lives. And I left Scent almost wishing I could go live in a community somewhere where this could happen, the daily exhortation. And I want to learn how to live that here.
Amen. We all live in a little community called home, right? I was just thinking, you know, for especially you sisters, maybe you don't get out that much. But if you have children, you have a little community. And, you know, for us fathers as well, I want to do this in my own home. You know, we're having a parenting class. Well, this is parenting 101 right here, right? Be an encourager. Okay.
That's very interesting that you just shared that, because that was my testimony. Is I'm so thankful that Dwight has been very good at encouraging me and the children, and I just am very thankful for that. And I see that this is like where it has to start to really be able to affect the church in the right way. And just I've needed it. I have opportunities on the phone, and And from out of the area, people that I can share and encourage and exhort. And I am so thankful for a husband that is very encouraging and upbuilding to me.
Amen. That's a good testimony. Okay.
I want to thank Brother Daniel for the message. That has been a very real part of my life in recent years. Reaching out for encouragement in my part. When I couldn't work, there was times I could still talk on the phone. There was times I couldn't even do that. And I did find recently, I had been aware of this for some time, but I did find I was having trouble with migraine headaches for years and other health issues related to what I've been facing. And I found that reaching out to some of my other brothers on the phone, it actually made my headache go away. It actually brought life to me physically, where I could actually go work again. That happened to me several times in a row that 1 week. And it was just incredible. I said, it's given me ideas. Maybe this is what God has called me to. Maybe not as much physical work, but something like that. I said, it's just incredible what this can do. And what I see happens is that Western culture, Western civilization, is designed to snuff the life out of Christianity. We're each in it for our own mortgage, our own rent payments, our taxes. By the time we have some free time for our children, it seems, too many of us, they're grown and gone. It troubled me years ago, before I've come even close to where I'm at today. Then after I lost my health, it became a reality. We've got problems here in this culture. And I see that in a community type living, more than our own home, several families together, we could reach out and bless each other in this way easier than we can today. But even in the light of our predicament we are in today, which not too many see it this way, but I'd encourage others to look in and think about these things. In light of this stuff, we could maybe give, as a brother, give each other a call over a lunch break. Going without lunch ain't such a bad thing sometimes when we need encouragement worse. I've done it. I'd encourage others to do it. I've done it with my business. People come in and we get to talking. There'd be an hour or two spent there that was worth more than any money I could have ever made. Yet, somehow, it don't work out so well financially sometimes. But I received more blessing, and they did too, than I would have been possible any other way. Just thank you all. Bless you.
Is there another one? Okay, go ahead.
When I was over teaching in Indonesia, Jenny Herr would faithfully send notes, and a lot of times it was a verse or a song, and it seemed like every time God used it to speak into my life, so much so that when I came back, she asked me if I wanted to be taken off her list, and I said no. It has made my life so much richer and was just what I needed. God knew exactly what I needed to hear every time, and so I still get them, and I'm very blessed because of it.
Praise God.
I was very blessed this morning how the two messages fit together. Brother Paul, your exhortation this morning. I read a quote recently that blessed me a lot, and I'm not sure who said it, but it goes that you're not responsible for your situation in life, and you're not necessarily responsible for your motives, but you're 100% responsible for your attitude. And attitude goes a long ways with this thing of encouraging each other. You know, how's our attitude? If we choose to be down, we won't encourage somebody else. Well, that's an attitude that we choose every day. And we're 100% responsible for that every moment of every day. And that challenged me a lot, but I thought I'd just share that.
Amen. And you know, even with our Sunday school lesson there, talking about temptation, Isn't the greatest hindrance to resisting temptation when we're discouraged about whatever. In other words, when I'm discouraged, I'm weak. I don't have the same ability to resist the tempter. But when I'm encouraged, I don't want to give in. I don't want to go there. So I see that, we actually, through this, there's the building up to keep us from sinning. And that's a great encouragement. All right, is there another microphone?
This is on the giving end of things, but I know that right soon after I got born again, I started getting ideas for ways to encourage people or things that would encourage people. Short sayings, scripture verses, whatever. And didn't get a whole lot because I didn't really try to. It just kind of came. So you don't have to be this, you don't have to wait a long time. You don't have to be this great spiritual person or anything like that of any sort. If you're a new Christian, you have the Holy Spirit is living inside you, and Jesus called him the Comforter, and so he wants to comfort other people. So don't think that you have to wait many years before you can encourage people.
Amen. Let's do it.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.